What if the president could fix the debt ceiling problem with the stroke of a pen?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In a hopeful but tentative sign for the job market, there's news today that fewer people signed up for unemployment benefits in the last week. That is lower than expected and brings this down to the best level in nearly 6 years. A four-week average is also nicely down. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago, joins us on Thursdays for a dip into what's also on the minds of market players. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Well, the government did say this morning that gross domestic product was still running at 2.5% April to June. No revision. Somehow it's hard to yell stop the presses at no revision.
It's a bit of a yawn. They did have declines in inventories and exports that were offset by state and local government spending, but at the end of the day, not a big news mover.
All right, but there is movement toward resolving the federal budget fight, right?
Not hardly. I think, you know, we're still very uncertain whether or not they're going to do a continuing resolution, but the real issue is the debt ceiling and lifting that, which now has a deadline of October 17th. This showdown could be worse than that in 2011, and remember, that was when we got downgraded by Standard & Poor's. So that was not a pretty fight, and people think they're crying wolf in Washington, but the reality is this is much more uncertain and has much more catastrophic potential effects than even we saw back in 2011.
But on this crying wolf thing, if it comes to it, won't President Obama just fix this through some kind of executive order? I'm the president. I'm just going to raise the debt ceiling.
Yes, he could absolutely do that, which would then trigger on several years of fighting and suing by Congress of the president. And that would just further delay any real decisions we need to make in Washington. So it's more policy by inaction than action.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's the federal borrowing limit. There's also sequestration, the across-the-board budget cuts from earlier this year. More are set for the next fiscal year. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports on how cuts to the Merchant Marine could end up costing the U.S. Navy more money.
The Merchant Marine is a fleet of U.S.-flagged ships with American crews that are privately owned. For a yearly fee, they deliver cargo for the U.S. government. During World War II, Merchant Marine vessels known as Liberty ships dodged German U-boats to deliver crucial supplies. I boarded a Liberty ship in Baltimore recently to meet retired Merchant Marine Captain Don Marcus.
As we go up the gangway, tell me, what am I looking at here?
Well, you're looking at the SS John W. Brown.
Marcus could go on and on about the John W. Brown, but we're here to talk about 2014 sequestration cuts. Marcus says they'd hit the Merchant Marine hard. There are now 60 Merchant Marine ships that carry U.S. military cargo. Marcus says up to a third of them could be lost because of sequestration.
It's a situation of unintended consequences and blind cuts that could slash capacity at a time of potential conflict and actual conflict.
Marcus says Merchant Marine ships carried more than 90% of the cargo for U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. But former Assistant Defense Secretary Lawrence Korb says we won't be fighting any more big ground wars that require lots of cargo shipments. He says if he were back at the Pentagon, he'd go along with the Merchant Marine cuts.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do it, but if I had to do it, could I live with it? Yeah.
If that happened, the Navy would pick up much of the slack. Retired Admiral Mark Busby says that would be expensive. By some estimates, it would cost $13 billion to replace the Merchant Marine ships. But Busby says the Merchant Marine ends up being an easy target for budget cutters because of little public support.
People see 18-wheelers on the highway. They see trains going by. But few people venture into ports. Few people see ships sailing at sea.
But that could change, thanks to Hollywood.
This is not a drill, this is a real-world situation.
A new Tom Hanks movie is coming out. He stars as a Merchant Marine captain attacked by pirates. The movie premieres October 11th, when Congress is still likely to be wrestling with sequestration cuts. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
conference in London today is taking on the problem of counterfeit medicine. Millions of lives are put at risk by knockoff drugs. It's a problem afflicting the U.S. and Europe, as well as the developing world. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The World Health Organization claims that counterfeit medicine is now a $75 billion a year industry. It estimates that up to 10% of the medical drugs sold around the world are fake. In poor countries, it could be as much as 50%. Professor of Medicine Martin McKee is taking part in today's meeting. He told the BBC that this illicit trade poses a major threat to human health.
You might be taking drugs that don't cure the condition you have, and if it's a life-threatening condition, you might die. Secondly, you might be taking drugs that are themselves toxic, and the ingredients in them may kill you.
McKee says the boom in internet sales of medicine has fueled the fake drug industry. The anti-impotence remedy Viagra, sold online, is believed to be the most counterfeited treatment. But he also blames globalization. He says long and complicated supply chains make it easier for fake drugs to get into the system. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And if you're driving with GPS and the little voice, not inside the GPS, but the little voice in your head says, this doesn't seem right, pay attention. A flaw in Apple Maps was directing people to drive straight across a runway at Fairbanks International, and several out-of-towners indeed found themselves cutting across. Authorities had to put up barricades. Apple fixed the problem last night. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.